Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
What God generally does is he works through providence. He works supernaturally, but it's sometimes in such natural ways that in the midst of the process, we can't even see that he's actually at work. It's not until we finally get to the destination that we look back and we can put all the pieces together and go, man, the Lord was in all of that.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the book of Genesis. Join us as Pastor Brian concludes his teaching on Genesis chapters 39 through 40 in a message titled, The Testing of Joseph. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
You see, it's a completely wrong idea to think that just because we're Christians, we're going to be kept from those kinds of things. And that's something that I think quite often we do fall into thinking. We think it a strange thing concerning the fiery trial that was to try us. We think it's strange. What is going on? This shouldn't be happening. I'm a child of God. Not only am I a child of God, but Lord, I'm a good child. I'm a sincere. I'm not like those backsliding children of yours. I'm trying to do the right thing. And yet I find myself in this kind of a situation. You see, that just shows that we do have that kind of mentality. You know, it's interesting. In Romans chapter 8, Paul, he quotes from the Psalms there, and he says, for your sakes, we are killed all day long. And then he goes on and he lists, you know, the tribulation and the different things that we go through. And Paul says, really, in essence, that these things are all part of the proofs that we are God's children, where we quite often look at those things and think that they indicate something else. Maybe we're out of favor with the Lord. But here's Joseph, and the Lord is with him. Not delivering him from, but strengthening him in the midst of his trouble. And notice as well that to Potiphar, and now to the man who's the head over the prison, notice there's something in Joseph that they see that is a testimony to the living God. And that's what happens. When we go through our prison experiences, whatever they might be, and the Lord is with us, and we embrace his comfort and his encouragement, and we believe in his promises, you know, other people, they see that. How many people have come to faith in Christ ultimately because of observing a believer going through a deep and difficult time and yet maintaining a quiet confidence in the Lord? And people look on, they see that stuff. And those are sometimes the very things that move others. And no doubt these men were greatly impressed with the reality of this living God Yahweh because of Joseph's example. Now, it came to pass after these things that the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief butler and the chief baker. So he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison, the place where Joseph was confined. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, so they were in custody for a while. Then the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, had a dream, both of them, each man's dream in one night, and each man's dream with its own interpretation. And Joseph came into them in the morning and looked at them and saw that they were sad. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in the custody of his Lord's house, saying, why do you look so sad today? And they said to him, "We each have had a dream, and there is no interpreter of it." So Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please." Now, remember, Joseph has had some dreams of his own, hasn't he? And so when he hears about the fact that these men have had dreams, and notice, they're visibly shaken by these dreams. So Joseph evidently realizes that there's something more to this than just, you know, the average dream. But he says, "Do not interpretations belong to God?" Joseph knows something about dreams. He also knows something about the Lord giving the interpretation of those dreams. So the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, "Behold, in my dream, a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches. It was as though it budded. Its blossoms shot forth, and its clusters brought forth ripe grapes. Then Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand." And Joseph said to him, "This is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Now within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your place, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand according to the former matter when you were his butler." So Joseph has the interpretation. God's given it to him. And listen, verse 14, "But remember me when it is well with you. And please show kindness to me. Make mention to me of Pharaoh," or "make mention of me to Pharaoh, and get me out of this house. For indeed, I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews, and I also have done nothing here that they should put me into the dungeon." So, you know, it was no holiday for Joseph to be in there. He was, that God's favor was upon him. He blessed him while he was there, but obviously Joseph doesn't want to be there indefinitely. He wants out. So he says to the man, "Remember me." Now, when the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, "I also was in my dream, and there were three white baskets on my head. In the uppermost basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, and the birds ate them out of the basket on my head." So Joseph answered and said, "Not good. This is the interpretation of it. The three baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh from you." Now it came to pass on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among the servants. Then he restored the chief butler to his butlership again, and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Listen, yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Oh, how could he do that? You see the drama? Now, remember, at this point, because when we pick up in the next chapter, it'll tell us that 2 more years transpire. So at this point, Joseph has been a captive in Egypt for 11 years at this point. 11 years. Now, that's a pretty lengthy trial, wouldn't you say? You know, when a trial comes, the great hope that we have is that it's going to pass, and we hope it will pass quickly. But there are those times in life when things come our way, and they don't just go away. They don't just pass quickly. They drag out, and sometimes they just keep going on and on and on, and it's so easy to get discouraged. It's so easy to be tempted to lose heart. But when that's happening with you, just remember Joseph. 13 years. 13 years. What was happening in those 13 years? Turn with me to Psalm 105. Psalm 105. Again, we need to take a step back. and get the divine perspective on it. Look at what it says in verse 16. It says, moreover, he, speaking of God, called for a famine in the land. He destroyed all the provision of bread. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in iron. Until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. What was happening during these long years? Joseph was being refined. He was being tested in the sense of he was being prepared. He was being prepared for that work that God had yet ahead for him. But like I said a few minutes ago, Joseph didn't know that. He didn't know that God had some great work for him. But as God is faithful, even though Joseph didn't know the details of what God was going to do, remember, God had given Joseph his own dreams. And I'm sure that somewhere in the back of Joseph's mind, he would continue to go back and think about those dreams and have some sort of conviction, some sort of a sense that at some point in time, something's going to happen in reference to those dreams that he had. And when we go through prolonged seasons of testing, prolonged periods of refining, we don't go into it without any encouragement from the Lord. What we find as we go through these things, we look back and then we start to connect the dots and we realize, oh, the Lord spoke this to me, and the Lord spoke that to me, and the Lord said this to me, and the Lord showed me that. And then we start to put it together and we realize that all of this is about the same thing. God was preparing us not only to go into the season of difficulty, not only to go into a prison, so to speak, but to sustain us through it. You see, Joseph didn't have a complete understanding of the big picture, but he had a sense in his heart that there was more to the story than had yet been unfolded. And that's something that we can lay hold of as well. If you've been in a long, drawn-out season of difficulty, I would imagine, because I know from my own experiences, I would imagine that you can look back and say, there have been words that God has given me that have carried me through and continue to carry me through. And there will be, as we pointed out before, there will be something of a blessing on the other side. Now, in this account, and we're only partway through it, but there's something that I think is so important, not on the surface, but again, as you just stop and look at the whole situation and think about it, there's an important lesson here on the way God works and the way God does not work. We tend at times, and especially in our more immature seasons as Christians, we tend at times to think of God operating in sort of a magical kind of a way. And what I mean by magical is we just think of God as he's just going to wave his wand and all of the potential problems in front of us are going to disappear. And we won't have any problems. And we won't have any hardship. And we won't have any difficulty. And we won't have anything to go through because God will just make it all go away. Now, for some people, that is a full-blown theology that they live by. They live by a theology that essentially says if you have enough faith, you can, you know, smooth out the path before you so you never have any kind of obstruction or any kind of difficulty or anything like that. But that is a mark of immaturity because that's not the way God works. Now, think about this. Listen to what it says again here in verse 16 of Psalm 105. Moreover, he called for a famine in the land. He destroyed all the provision of bread. He sent a man before them, Joseph. Now look what God does. There's going to be a famine. God knows the famine is going to come. The famine potentially will destroy Jacob's family. They will potentially perish in the famine. Now, remember, Jacob is, he's God's man. He's the heir of the Abrahamic covenant and promises. We've got to keep Jacob and his family going because the messianic promise is through them. But there's a famine coming that will wipe them out. So we would say, well, God, just don't let the famine happen. God, you just go over there and you take care of that. Send some rain and, you know, help with those crops and just circumvent the whole famine, and that'll solve the problem with Jacob and his family. But you see, that's the equivalent of waving the magic wand. God doesn't do it that way. What does he do? Instead, he sends Joseph to Egypt. But he sends him through this very difficult and challenging way. And in the process of sending him, he develops his character to prepare him to be the man who will basically save the known world from extinction through this famine. But you see, the lesson for us is this. As we've heard many times before, God works supernaturally quite often through very natural measures. The immature person is always looking for a miracle. Always needs to see a sign. Always needs to see a wonder. Always wanting God to wave the magic wand and take care of all of the problems. And a person who doesn't grow out of that mentality is in for some serious disappointment down the road in their Christian life. Because it just simply doesn't work that way. Miracles are the exception, not the rule. That's why they're miracles. If they happened every day, nobody would think twice about them. But they don't happen every day. God reserves them for very special times. And what God generally does is he works through providence. He works supernaturally, but it's sometimes in such natural ways that in the midst of the process, we can't even see that he's actually at work. It's not until we finally get to the destination that we look back and we can put all the pieces together and go, man, the Lord was in all of that. But when you're in the middle of it, the big question is, God, where did you go? Why did you abandon me? How come you've left me? And you see, what the Lord will do in our lives is quite often he will give us sort of a glimpse of the big picture. He'll give us a glimpse of kind of where we're ultimately going and what we're ultimately doing, but he will withhold the details. He will withhold the details, and he will take us on a route to our destination that we never, ever imagined. And I think another, beside Joseph, another great example is in Paul's experience. Paul had this deep conviction, and not only a conviction, but he had a word from God that he would go to Rome and that he would testify before Caesar. But Paul, when he writes to the Romans, whom he had not yet visited, he tells them his plans. He says, I'm going to Spain, and I'm going to come by and see you, and this is what we're going to do when I get there, and I'm excited about being with you, and this is what I hope to accomplish, and See you soon. See, Paul knew he was going to Rome. He thought he was going to Rome a certain way. He got to Rome, but not in any way the way he expected to get there. When he arrived in Rome, he was there as a prisoner. And he had had quite an adventure making his way there. And over and over again, you see these kinds of parallels in the lives of God's people, where these histories, to some extent, you know, obviously on smaller scales, where these kinds of things are just repeated over and over. Sometimes I'm reading through the Old Testament, and I think I'm reading my life story right here. It's great. It's good. God is in control. Even when it doesn't seem like it, he's in control. And he's moving us toward our destination. Remember Jonah? God said, go to Nineveh. Jonah said, no way. He took a ship headed to Tarshish. You know the story. The ship was about to sink, and the captain said, men, wake up and call on your gods. Find out who's offended a god so we can be spared. And Jonah was sleeping. They woke him up and said, wake up and call on your God. And Jonah says, look, just throw me over. I'm the problem. I'm a Hebrew. I'm the servant of the Most High God, and I'm disobeying him. Just throw me over. So they threw him over in the sea, calm, just as Jonah predicted it would. And a big fish, you know the story, came and swallowed Jonah. This is a true story. This isn't mythology. The Lord prepared a great fish to come and swallow Jonah. And for 3 days, Jonah was under the sea in the belly of a fish. And guess where that fish spit him up at? Right in the very place that God had told him to go. Right on the shores there. Probably of the Euphrates. He had no idea when he was in the belly of that fish where he was headed. He was moving somewhere, but he was moving right to where God had appointed him to be. And you know, you might be in a prison. You might be sailing in a ship that's in a storm. You might feel like you're in the belly of a fish and you're going to be consumed. But know this, the Lord has got it all under control. And he's orchestrating things. And he's moving you in a direction, and he's going to bring you to a place. And you're going to look back, and you're going to say, wow, amazing. And then you're going to be able to put all the pieces together. So what do we do in the meantime? In the meantime, we need to just hold on to those dreams. We need to hold on to those words. We need to hold on to those promises that God has given us. As little as they might seem and as dim as they might be at times, we hold on to them. And one day, the whole picture will come together and we'll see, just like Joseph will ultimately see, God was in the whole thing.
For the month of May, Back to Basics Radio is extending our offer for a book titled Doctrine for Difficult Days, Important Theology Made Simple by J. Vernon McGee. Do you desire greater understanding of the Word of God? And do you want your life to reflect that greater understanding? Then this comprehensive, easy-to-use guide will help you explore biblical doctrine and explain complex theology in everyday language. It addresses biblical teaching on issues such as authenticity of the Bible, the purpose of mankind, the nature of angels, the fall of Satan, and virtually every major doctrine in Scripture. This is an excellent resource to open up Scripture as never before. The book Doctrine for Difficult Days, Important Theology Made Simple by J. Vernon McGee is our gift to say thank you for your donation to Back to Basics. So we encourage you to call us right now at 0208-466-5365. or visit us online at brianbrodersen.uk, where you can find more resources or sign up for Pastor Brian's free weekly email devotional. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you by dialing 0-208-466-5365 or by writing us at Back to Basics Radio, P.O. Box 647, Bromley, Kent, BR14WQ. We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Genesis. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.